Good morning. This is Wynn Greer with the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast, and it is good to be here on this beautiful Tuesday morning. And what a good week it's been so far. I hope everybody's had a good week, but we appreciate you listening in to the Blessings of Liberty. I just seen Dave Blank's Zoom by the window there. Yeah, I hear the door opening there, so there he is. He'll say that, you know, we started early and everything, so.
We started right on the money.
Yes.
The proof is in the put. Oh, actually, 3 seconds late.
Oh, okay. Well, does that count?
We gave him an extra 3 seconds to get here, and it just didn't pay.
Maybe on the property counts. I don't know.
Hey, guys, what are you doing?
Talking about you.
Oh, about me? Why? Why ever for?
All right, I'll let you take off, CJ.
Thanks.
Hey, well, Wynn. Hello, how are you?
Hey, excellent.
Good, good. Yes.
Yeah, good.
Glad to have you back. We missed you last week.
Well, thanks a lot.
And appreciate all your prayers. My dad was in the hospital. He had a mild stroke, but he has recovered, and he's back to doing what he does.
Well, good. Yeah. I didn't mention it on the air last week. I don't know if anybody else did, but I didn't know, you know, if that was personal or what. But anyway, I'm glad to hear that. You know, I got a... I was talking to somebody one time, I can't remember, or I got an email, and maybe I was in the bank, and one of the girls in there said that they were just having a normal day.
Completely normal?
Yeah, and I got to thinking about that, you know, that's a blessing, just
oh, yeah.
A normal day, because, you know, you go to work, and you get a call, and something's happening, and, man, it's scary.
Yeah, it comes out of nowhere, too.
Yeah, life can just throw you a curve every once in a while.
So, that's a good point, though.
Yeah.
You know, appreciate the normal.
Thank God for normal,
yeah.
Boring days.
I love them.
Yeah, we ought to. Last week, we had a real good broadcast. I had a lot of calls and
you just saying that because I wasn't here.
No,
is that
no. We just had a good subject, and I'll sort of give you a review from last week.
Fair enough.
And lead into this week where I'm going to read out of Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 27 in just a minute. But last week, what sort of got us started, I gave a devotion and then led into the meat of the radio broadcast from that devotion out of Proverbs chapter 27 in verse number 18, where it says, "Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof." And what I was talking about last week was personal property rights and how that the Bible teaches the principle that it is good and proper to own personal property, to benefit from the fruits of your labor. Whoso keepeth the fig tree, that means, you know, if you're laboring, if that's your labor, then you have every right. And it is in the perfect will of God to benefit from that labor, to eat of the fig tree. You know, you grow the garden, that's your garden, that's your fruits. And so we talked about personal property rights and how that deals with our prosperity. You know, you cannot have prosperity without personal property, and that's what I talked about last week. Well, today I was thinking about it, and I want to read out of Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 27 and 28 where the Bible talks about charity. Talks about giving to others who are in need. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 27 says, "Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee." And what the Bible is talking about there is charity. It's talking about giving to somebody who has a need. If I have the ability to meet somebody's need, I should not send them away and say, "Well, just come back tomorrow and I'll take care of you then." If I have it with me, if I have it by me, then and my neighbor comes and they have a need and I can meet that need, then I should fulfill that need. I should try to help them. And what I wanted to say about that is when talking about, if we go back to last week, "Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof," and our prosperity. Now, if the government consumes my prosperity, then on the other hand, as they consume my prosperity, and the government does consume much of our prosperity, what we make.
The fruit of your fig tree.
The fruit of our labors.
Yeah.
Most of it. goes in some way or the other. I mean, you think about it. There's no area of our lives that the government has not reached its hand into, and actually it cost us more. Everything is regulated. Everything is taxed and double taxed and permits. And I mean, there's nothing you could think of that the government doesn't have its hand in. Everything. And it costs more. It costs more to build a house. Why? Because regulations. It costs more to live because of regulations. And on, that's not what I want to continually talk about today. But as the government consumes our prosperity, it also consumes our ability to give. So limited government, blessings of liberty, get back to the Constitution. That's what this radio broadcast, My Burden, is all about. We ought to do things in light of the Bible. We ought to do things in light of the Constitution, which is based upon the Bible, and I've covered that many, many times. So not only for financial reasons am I for a very limited government and a very inexpensive government. That's what our forefathers envisioned. But there is also a moral reason for a very limited and inexpensive government. Americans are generous people, and I personally, for one, do not want the government legislating my giving. I want to be able to give. I want to be able to be prosperous in this world, and I want to be able, out of that prosperity, one of the great blessings is to give. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. I like to give. But what I find more and more is that the government encroachment into my personal liberty, into my prosperity, limits my ability to give. So a financial reason, a moral reason even for limited government. But anyway, that's the devotion I wanted to share with you today. And I wanted to also make an announcement. Of course, this radio broadcast is made possible by Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. And I'm the pastor there. We've been working for a few months now on a website.
Right.
And that website is up and running, and we actually have some previous radio broadcasts on the website. And very soon there will be messages. The Sunday morning messages will be also on there. That, I don't know, maybe towards the end of the week, but I really wish that Sundays would was worthwhile. If nobody else got anything out of it, I got something out of it.
Of your preaching the
Well,
message?
The study that I did that led up to it. But I found something very interesting in the Bible. In the Old Testament, Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, he said, "Therefore I hated life." And he said, "I hated my labor." And Peter said in the New Testament, he said, "They that will love life and see good days." And I talked about the difference of hating life or loving life. And a lot of people are hating life. We ought to be loving life, and just the difference and the reasons between the two. And so we'll have some of these on, but the website is mountlebanonbc.org. And you have to go there, M-T Lebanon, M-T-L-E-B-A-N-O-N-B-C.org. It's short for Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, but it's Mount MTLebanonBC.org. And, it's just
pretty
real
easy.
So,
MTLebanonBC.org. Here right. It is. I just pulled it up.
Dave found it. So if Dave found it, you can find it.
So, 1128 Beards Creek Road, Vilas.
Yeah, you've got church information, radio broadcast, messages on there coming soon. So we want you to be sure. And we have visitors all throughout the summer. And we appreciate that, and, has our service times and everything on there. So come visit us if you don't have a church family. Let me get into a few things this morning. Dave, I want to talk today on the subject of conspiracy or coincidence. And I think I've alluded to this a couple of times in the past, but I wanted to get into it a little bit more today. There is... Even you hear people talking about it in the news, these conspiracy theorists, or that's a conspiracy talking about, if we said the BP oil leak was man-made, there's evidence, if we said that.
Like it was sabotage?
Like it was sabotage. Well, somebody would say, that's a conspiracy theory.
Kind of a catch-all way to discredit.
And there's conspiracies for everything. I mean, everything, if you really study into it. But what I want to look at or bring to light today, hope to, is that really in world history and how we view the world, there are really only two ways to view the world. And one is either conspiracy or coincidence. And maybe you've never thought about that very much before, but I guarantee you have already formed a view one way or the other.
Everything that's happened.
Everything that's happened. And here's how you tell. One, if you have a biblical worldview, and what I mean by that, if you are a person who believes in God, believes in God's word, or that the Bible is God's word, if you believe that God is a real living creator of the universe, he set things in order, he looks over, he has power over everything, the universe and everybody in it. If you believe there is a real devil who lives and fights against that which is good and against God, if you believe that there's such a thing as sin in the world, if you believe those things, you are already, I guarantee you, a conspiracy theorist. Now, if you have a secular worldview, and I'll show you what I'm talking about, but what I mean by a secular worldview, say you don't believe in God. You believe that we are here not by divine creation, but billions and billions of years ago, there was a big bang. And a few billion years later, there was, universal soupy mixture that came together. And, the fish crawled out of the pond.
The primordial ooze.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think of.
Yeah.
If you believe that man makes his own destiny, then what you really believe is that everything is coincidence or came out of chaos. And some study I've been doing about this, the coincidence or chaos theory is generally accepted and promoted by those in schools, intellectual writers, those who write textbooks and things along those lines. That is what is actually taught in the public school system. For example, if you teach or were taught, I was taught this in school. I was taught in evolution, that I was taught history without God in history. Russus Rushdoony. He's an American educator, and he wrote a book called The Nature of the American System. He said this about it. He said, in the eyes of most intellectuals, the hallmark of intellectual acceptability is to view history as the outworking of impersonal forces and factors. And what he's saying there is, that's the hallmark of intellectual identity. If you believe that we're here by coincidence, accidents, good luck, bad luck, he says, what he's saying there is, if you believe that line of thought, then you're really smart. And so he said, in the eyes of most intellectuals, the hallmark of intellectual acceptability is to view history as the outworking of impersonal forces and factors. But then he goes on and he explains the other way of looking things. He says, on the other hand, he says, whereas the epitome of absurd, irrational, and even dangerously reactionary thinking is to regard history as in any sense conspiracy. He says, such a view is primitive and naive. It is a form of belief in the devil, we're told. And what he's saying there, that is an educated way of saying, if you believe in conspiracy or if you believe in the devil, then you are ignorant and you might even be dangerous. Now, that doesn't bother me. I would rather believe what God's word says than what Mr. Rushdoony says. But I'm just saying, in intellectual circles, the common way of viewing history is the coincidence or chaos theory that God is not involved, that even there is no God, and that there's no divine plan being worked out. But on the other hand, I want to share with you what God's word says. I found something real interesting, Dave. I was studying this, and the Bible has the word conspiracy, conspirators, conspired several times in the Bible. But I've said this a lot of times. If you want to find out something interesting in God's word, find the first time that it's mentioned If you find the first time that it's mentioned, you'll find something very interesting about that subject, no matter what it is.
Which kind of means you need to begin from the beginning, I guess, if you're looking for the first mention.
There's
of
a reason for that. I mean, the other little sayings, God's order is never out of order. Things in the Bible are ordered for a reason. So find the first time the word conspiracy, conspired, conspiratorial is found in the Bible, and you'll find something interesting. First time it's mentioned, Genesis chapter 37 and verse number 18, this is Joseph. And this is significant. I'll try to explain it in the time we have today. But Genesis chapter 37 and verse number 18, this is Joseph when he was a young man. He's already had dreams and visions that his brethren and his parents are going to bow down to him. And they hated him because of that. Well, they were out in the field, and Joseph is sent out there. And the Bible says in Genesis 37 and 18, and when they saw him, talking about Joseph, when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. They conspired together. The word conspire, it means to defraud, to act treacherously, two or more working together to a desired end. It means to, in the Bible, it's translated other ways as beguile, conspire, deceiver, to deal subtly with. But when they saw Joseph coming, they conspired against him to slay him. Now, that's significant because Joseph in the Bible is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is a type of Christ ruling over the world. And Joseph actually was elevated to that position where he was the ruler of the world at that time. He became the ruler of the world because he was elevated to the place of Pharaoh, and he gained all the riches in the land of Egypt, and anybody that wanted anything had to come to Joseph to get it. Even his brethren later on, when they came and bowed down to him and paid him reverence, because of his position in the land. He had food, and they didn't, and they needed it. But here we have Joseph's brethren. They conspired against him to slay him. And that's significant because Joseph is a type of Christ. And in Psalms chapter number 2, it talks about the rulers and the kings of the world, where they came together against the Lord. And they said, let us cast his bands asunder. And the Bible said, the Lord shall have them in derision. He shall laugh at them. And the rulers of the world in the book of Revelation will come against Christ Almighty and they at the battle of Armageddon. And so there's a lot of correlation or parallel we could bring into that. But first time the word conspired, sinners against a godly person. Joseph's brethren against Joseph, who is a type of Christ. The word conspire means to defraud, to act treacherously. It means to beguile, to deceive, to deal subtly. And all of these are descriptions of what the Bible says that the devil is. For example, Genesis 3:13, first mention, the serpent beguiled me that I did eat. Genesis 3:1, now the serpent was more subtle than any. First time the devil is mentioned, he's mentioned in connection with being subtle. He's a conspiracy expert, you might say. And there has been a conspiracy ever since the beginning of time. Revelation chapter number 20 talks about the devil, Satan, that he deceived the whole world, or he deceived all the nations of the world. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 talks about the conditions in the last days. It says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We're living in days of widespread deception where we don't even know what to believe. We're living in days where we're living in days of widespread conspiracy. For example, and I don't mean to get ahead of myself, but, you know, there's the BP oil spill. I alluded to that earlier. And I seen on the news in this past week where the oil is gone. They can't find it. They're going to start backing off the cleanup and all of these things. Where did all the oil go and all of these things? Well, at first it wasn't too bad. Then it's the worst thing that's ever happened. And now it's gone away. and everything's all right, so they say. But then I seen headlines this morning where they're going to start spraying another chemical, core exit, to fight it. So if it's gone, why are they spraying? You see what I'm saying? We don't even know what to really believe. Is it gone? Is it there? Of course it's not gone if it's as big as they said it was. But anyway, deceiving and being deceived. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. The word devices there literally means perception or a purpose. It implies the intellect and it denotes thought, that which is thought out. The devil has a well thought out plan where he has conspired against Christ to defeat and destroy him. Of course, I know, I've read the back of the book, and he's going to fail in that, but it doesn't stop him from trying. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world, with a little g, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. And it's talking there about the devil and his blinding influence upon society. So, talk about conspiracy or coincidence. Is what's happening in the world today, is it just coincidence? Is it just nobody knows and, you know, all accidental? Or is there actually a plan being worked out? And it's not something that's just come about overnight, but is there a plan being worked out to destroy not only our nation, but all the nations, and develop a new world order or a global government? Do you know that is exactly what the Bible says is going to happen in the last days? And you can call it a conspiracy if you want to, but if we study God's word, this is what the Bible says is going to happen, and this is what's happening. We look at society. We look at America. Well, there's a lot of things going on. Is it just accidental? No, it's planned, and it's been planned. Now, I've mentioned Glenn Beck before on this program, and I watch him not so much in the summer. It's hard to get in at 5 o'clock, but throughout the year, you know, I watch several episodes, and he's been talking a long time about the progressives in America, start of the early 1900s, Woodrow Wilson, Hillary Clinton during the presidential debates. She described herself, she said, well, I'm not a liberal. She said, I would describe myself as a modern progressive. And Glenn Beck refers back to that all the time. But if you look into the modern progressive movement, it is a group of people who literally have in the past 100 years in this country been working. They do not believe in the Constitution as far as is it for us today. They believe that it's outdated. They believe that our country needs to be changed drastically from within, that we need to become a global economy, a global power, global this, global that, do away with the Constitution, do away with national sovereignty. And this has been happening, and we've been seeing this happen in our country. You look in the history of our country, and for many, many years. I'm going to read some things today in the time left from our founding forefathers, and also some others that shows that our founding forefathers believed there was a conspiracy. There was a work going on to destroy our nation from the very foundations. Thomas Jefferson said this, single acts of tyranny may be ascribed to the accidental opinion of a day, but a series of oppressions begun at a distinguished period and pursued unalterably through every change of ministers too plainly prove a deliberate, systematical plan of reducing us to slavery. And that is what's happening today. No matter what, no matter who changes, as far as ministers, elected officials, we're continuing on down a certain road. And what that points to is, yes, there's a conspiracy, and it's being worked out. Andrew Jackson said, I was one of those who do not believe that a national bank is a national blessing, but rather a curse to a republic, inasmuch as it is calculated to raise around the administration a moneyed aristocracy dangerous to the liberties of the country. And we have, of course, today a national bank, the Federal Reserve. It's not a, government institution. It's a private institution. Let me read some others. I've got several here, but I don't have time for just a few of them. I'm going to read Charles Lindbergh, Minnesota representative, 1906 to 1917. He said the Federal Reserve Act established the most gigantic trust on earth. When the president signs this act, the invisible government by the money power will be legitimized. The new law will create inflation. Whenever the trust wants inflation, from now on, depressions will be scientifically created. And that's where we're at today. What's happening is not happening by accident. If it were not for unemployment checks in our country, what we're experiencing right now would be worse than the Great Depression, because people now, they don't raise a garden. They don't have anything laid back. The unemployment being paid out in this country has kept it from being as bad as it could be. But, Dave, that'll run out. It's going to run out. And then what are we going to do? This is not happening by accident. It is happening by design. Wright Patman was a Texas representative from 1928 to 1976, or he probably wasn't a rep that long, but anyway, he said this. He said, I am opposed to the U.S. government, which has the sovereign and exclusive power of creating money, paying private bankers for the use of its money. One of these days, the people of this country are going to rise up in their wrath and compel the change of such an idiotic system that compels our people to pay tribute to a few who have nothing invested and run no risk in order to conduct the affairs of our government and especially our national defense program. That is exactly what is happening today. The Federal Reserve has closed down. If you go to get a loan at a bank, see, a capitalist society has to work on, there has to be credit available. When credit is cut off, the whole system shuts down. If you go to the bank and try to get a loan today, you know what you're going to find out? It's not that the bank doesn't want to lend you the money. They're going to point to the back room and say the feds are back there and won't let us. What's happening in our country is not by accident. It is by design, and it has been going on for years and years. William Jenner, who was an Indiana senator, he said, this post-war world of crisis, convulsions, and catastrophes, and that is exactly the cycle that's going on today, crisis, convulsions, catastrophes, the world in which American taxpayers empty their pocketbooks to meet emergencies on five continents, the world in which American boys are forced to sit on powder kegs in 49 countries is a world we never made. It was made for us by these traitors in our own government. They monkeyed with, manipulated, and maneuvered the whole plan for the UN even before it was blueprinted in the State Department's top drawer. He said, today the path to total dictatorship in the United States can be laid by strictly legal means, unseen and unheard by the Congress, the President, or the people. Outwardly, we have a constitutional government. We have operating within our government and political system another body representing another form of government, a bureaucratic elite which believes our Constitution is outmoded and is sure that it is on the winning side. And that is what we have in our society today. I was looking yesterday, and there's a Representative Stark in California, and he was having a town hall meeting, and a lady asked him about universal health care. She asked him about the constitutional mandate, and she was making the point that it was unconstitutional, and he basically said, it's going to be done. And she said something along the lines of the government being able to do anything, and he responded and said, yes, the government can do anything. And she said, sir, it's people like you that are destroying this country. And you can see it on YouTube if you want to look it up. And he sits there and just nonchalantly shakes his head. He's one of these people that thinks, you know what, we can do anything. Well, what do? Especially in 30 seconds, 20. That's all we got, Dave.
Plant a garden.
Pray. Too late for that this year.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Pray. Trust God. I'll probably get into it a little bit more next week. But we appreciate you listening in. I got about 2 hours worth in 30 minutes. It's hard to
do.
Good job. Yeah. Thanks for listening, though. Tune in next week.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty on AM 1450 WATA Boone.